The recording. Recording is on. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. This is the December 26, 2023 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. I am Hearing Examiner Sharon Rice. I'm an attorney who works as a hearing examiner on contract with Thurston County and about 13 other cities and counties, largely up and down the I-5 corridor. Thanks for joining me here the day after Christmas to hear project file number 2022-106177. The Irish reasonable use exception. This application relates to property addressed as 7125 Libby Road Northeast in unincorporated Olympia, Washington. I have some opening remarks to go through. I think most of you are familiar, but just for the record and for anybody who doesn't remember, of course, if you need to get my attention, you should call me Examiner Rice or Ms. Rice and let me know if you have requests on how you are addressed when you first testify. Zoom is the platform we are meeting upon today, and it is creating a recording. The recording needs to capture all testimony clearly and audibly, so I need everyone's help making sure that happens. It's my practice to ask folks to keep their audio muted when they are not testifying, and to please make sure your cell phones are silenced or turned off, other phones, whatever you can do to control the noise in your environment when you do testify. It looks like Mr. Irish dropped off. Here he comes. There you are. Good morning. Okay, so again, please keep your audio muted when you're not testifying. Make sure your cell phones are quiet when you are testifying. And remember, please, despite the fact that this is a virtual format, it is a legal hearing. And just like an in-person hearing, anyone who behaves disruptively will either be muted or removed from the meeting, depending on the circumstances, with the assistance of hearing clerk Ms. Sonia Cady. As we go forward, I will ask everyone to testify one at a time so that Zoom can capture all of your testimony. When you speak for the first time, I will ask you to please slowly state and spell your name for the recording, and then also to tell me your job title or your relationship to the case. And then I will ask you please to take an oath to tell the truth before you testify. Very quickly, in light of the State of Washington Appearance of Fairness Doctrine, I just want to quickly state for the record, again, I'm not a county employee. I have not had conversations with anybody regarding the merits of this application, and I have no property or family or other interests anywhere near the subject property. And because those facts are true, I believe I'm capable of issuing an impartial decision. Anyone who has grounds or believes they have grounds to challenge my impartiality is required by that state law to raise their challenge at their first opportunity, which if you're here today would be today. I do want to state, I don't think we have any members of the public here, just to be clear for everybody, that the number of people for or against a permit, those in favor and those opposed, the number of people is not itself evidence. I'm looking for actual evidence, factual evidence, that tends to show the criteria for permit approval are satisfied or are not satisfied. So that's what I will be reviewing the record to determine. In terms of order of testimony, the applicant is the party with the burden of proof, and that means they get the last say in these proceedings. I will hear from county staff first, and then the applicant and his representative will have a chance to make whatever presentation they think is appropriate. And then we will go for public comment if any members of the public attend this meeting. Currently, it looks like there are none. If we do have public comment, staff and applicants will be requested to respond today in their testimony. And then I will call last call for any further evidence or testimony for today and then close the record. Please know, just like in all other permit applications that are for hearings that are conducted virtually, I will be holding the record open briefly at the end of the hearing to allow for post-hearing written public comment from folks who had technology problems that prevented their ability to participate today. That brief period is 2 business days. We do have a couple of holidays in this decision issuance timeline, so the time frame is kind of strange. There's a couple of bumps. At the end of the hearing, I will go over the calendar with you so that before we adjourn today, you know the dates to expect everything to happen, expect the decision to be due, etc. And at the end of the hearing, I will email that schedule to Ms. Cady. She can forward it to you so that you have it in writing from me. So that is our basic order of operations. I will acknowledge the exhibits that were provided to me today that I have reviewed and that are admitted. At Exhibit 1, it is the Community Planning and Economic Development Staff Report. Attached to that document, as detailed on the last page, Page 8, there are attachments A through U. I did review those documents, and just to call out, attachment T is public comments received before staff report was published. Attachment U is applicant responses to those comments before staff report was published. Then also, before today's hearing, I did receive two additional public comments. They have been identified by the hearing clerk as exhibits 2A and 2B. I did receive both of those public comments and review them, and they are also admitted. With that, we're ready to hear from county staff. If I could ask you please to unmute, state and spell your name, give me your job title, and allow me to swear you in.
Heather Tchaikovsky, H-E-A-T-H-E-R-T-S-C-H-A-E-K-O-F-S-K-E. I'm an associate planner and biologist with community planning.
Thank you very much. Thank you for raising your hand to take the oath. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much, and go ahead.
All right. This is Project 2022-106-177, permit for a reasonable use exception. The applicant is Trevor Irish. The applicant seeks approval of a reasonable use exception to construct a single-family residence and appurtenances within a wetland buffer. Attachments D and E. The proposed residence consists of a 3,000 square foot single family residence, 900 square foot garage, 2,955 square foot driveway, and 2,620 square foot septic drain field areas. Access to the property is to be provided from Libby Road Northeast, a public roadway. The subject property has several jurisdictional wetlands with buffers that completely encumber the site. Thus, a reasonable use exception is required in order to reduce the buffers enough to allow for the residence and associated infrastructure. Attachment F. The site is 4.56 acres. The proposed development will require 9,715 square feet of unavoidable impact to the buffer of wetlands B and C. The project shall also include wetland restoration for a portion of the site that was cleared and graded without benefit of permit. The applicant cleared 27,825 square feet of forested buffer, of which 19,961 square feet shall be restored. The remaining 7,864 square feet of cleared area shall serve as a portion of the proposed home site. An additional 9,715 square feet of buffer area shall be enhanced to mitigate for the proposed residence and appurtenances. Attachments E and H. Written notice of the public hearing was sent to all property owners within 500 feet of the site, and notice was published in the Olympian on December 15th, 2023, at least 10 days prior to the hearing. See attachment A. The project was determined by staff to be categorically exempt from CEPA review per WAC 197-11-800, and there is no significant grading or in-water work involved with the project. The subject property is located within the rural portion of Thurston County. The comprehensive plan designation is residential, and the zoning district is the Rural Residential Resource, one dwelling unit per 5 acre district, or RRR 1 to 5, attachment B. The subject property is flat in the east with a slight slope west to the swale, identified as wetland B, which transects the lot from north to south. The property was inadvertently cleared in the center by the applicant for a recreational area, which he is now working to rectify through the permit process. On-site vegetation consists of upland forest and hydrophytic wetland species. There is a spall road left over from earlier forest practices at the eastern front center portion of the lot for ingress and egress. The property contains wetlands, a stream, and critical aquifer recharge areas, which are subject to requirements of the Thurston County Critical Areas Ordinance, or CAO, Thurston County Code, or TCC, Chapter 24. The property is not within the jurisdiction of the Shoreline Master Program. Surrounding land uses consist of neighboring lots within the RRR 1 to 5 zone, developed with single-family residences and undeveloped forest areas. The property contains a large wetland, two small wetlands, and a small stream. TCC 24.25 and 24.30 list standards and limitations for development of property containing streams and wetlands, including buffers. The on-site stream is less than 5 feet wide and ditched through the largest wetland, Wetland B. The riparian habitat area width for a fish-bearing stream less than 5 feet wide would be 150 feet, which is superseded by the standard buffer for Wetland B, Attachment E. The wetlands and stream have been delineated and categorized by a professional wetland biologist, Land Services Northwest. The report is revised June 15, 2023. See Attachment G. Wetland A is a small non-jurisdictional wetland with no required buffer. Wetlands B and C are rated Category 3 with a habitat score of 8, which require a 280-foot buffer per TCC 24.30.045. The new residence is proposed to be located approximately 51 feet from the closest wetland edge, and the septic is proposed to be 49 feet from the closest wetland edge. The total buffer reduction of wetland C would be 82% from the edge to the home and 58% from the wetland edge to the home for wetland B. The proposed development will require 9,715 square feet of unavoidable impact to the buffer of wetlands B and C, which is only 4.9% of the property, leaving the majority of the site undeveloped per wetland protection standards. The property is also mapped within a critical aquifer recharge area, Category 3, which is characterized by moderate aquifer sensitivity. Staff finds the project to be consistent with RUE criteria. The property is zoned for residential use, and there appears to be insufficient area in the outer 25% of the standard wetland buffer for development of a residence and appurtenances consistent with the non-conforming use chapter of the CAO TCC 24.50.060. Therefore, no other reasonable use of the property is permitted. Even though there are impacts to the wetland buffer proposed, the development represents minimal alteration of the buffer. The proposed development of the home and appurtenances will not occur in the wetland, thus no direct impacts to the wetland will occur. The wetlands biologist submitted a restoration and no net loss wetland buffer enhancement plan, attachments E and H. This plan involves a 1-to-1 ratio of impacts to buffer enhancement area as required in code. In addition, 19,961 square feet of previously cleared buffer area shall be restored with native vegetation, attachment Q. The mitigation plan will incorporate the applicable impact reduction measures found in TCC Table 24-30-2. An invasive removal and enhancement mitigation planting plan will result in no net loss of critical area functions and values of the wetland. The applicant will be providing a maintenance and monitoring plan for woody and herbaceous vegetation that will assure success over a 10-year period as required. The hydrological condition will be maintained by stormwater BMPs, which will not dewater the wetland but return water to infiltration trenches as to maintain this water on site. The grading requirements for the site are minimal and the geologic condition should be maintained as well. As such, staff does not believe the activity will result in damage to other properties and should not threaten the health, safety, or welfare on or off the site. And the project should have little impact to critical areas, including impacts to vegetation, fish and wildlife resources, hydrological conditions, and geologic conditions. The project is designed such that there should be no substantive impacts to species of concern which require mitigation. Per the applicant representative, the applicant has reduced the footprint and impacts to the greatest extent possible, and the size and scale of the project was made with the knowledge that the nature of the property requires the reasonable consideration of impacts. As proposed and conditioned, the application is consistent with the Thurston County Comprehensive Plan. The Public Health and Social Services Department has no objection to approval of the application, Attachment K. Staff from Public Works Department closed their review with no comments. The Nisqually Indian Tribe submitted a comment letter stating they have no concerns with the proposal, Attachment L. The Squaxin Island Tribe submitted a comment email stating they have no concerns with the proposal, Attachment M. The Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation submitted a comment email requesting an inadvertent discovery plan be in place during all site development, dated January 26, 2023. Attachments I and N. Several public comments were submitted in response to the notice of application, primarily regarding stormwater impacts. The applicant submitted responses and stormwater analysis to address stormwater requirements specific to the project. Attachments O, P, Q, R, S, T, and U. Several public comments were submitted for the hearing notice in favor of the proposal. Exhibits 2A and 2B, I believe. Based on the prior analysis, the Community Planning and Economic Development Department concludes that the proposed project, when appropriately conditioned, meets Thurston County requirements for reasonable use exception permit upon hearing examiner approval.
Thanks very much, Ms. Drakowski. Just want to note, and this is probably a question for the applicant, but in case you have any information on this point, the staff report states a total of 19,961 square feet for restoration and 9,715 square feet for enhancement. Both are required, right? Separately proposed, they're yes. Additional. Those numbers are different than the numbers that I calculate if I look at the site plan. The site plan says, and I'm at attachment E, it says 21,009 square feet of restoration. And if I do the math, there's two areas of enhancement and it comes out to 9,755. So 40 additional square feet. Do you know anything about the discrepancy between those two sets of numbers? Is that a question you can speak to, or shall I just ask Mr. Callender that later?
I would defer to the consultant. I know there's sometimes a differentiation between the numbers that we're seeing in the site plan and the mitigation within the report.
Thank you. Just checking. So that said, subject to confirmation of final numbers, your department just said that you feel, based on the numbers you've stated in the staff report, it can be approved should I determine that the criteria are satisfied, right?
Yes.
And if it turns out that it's slightly greater, that's not going to negatively impact your recommendation, correct?
No.
Thank you for confirming that. I also note on the site plan, it looks like a 4-foot construction setback is proposed. That construction setback is typically 15 feet. That's not really discussed that I noticed in the staff report. Does your department have a position on the proposed 4-foot construction setback?
4-foot construction setback is within the code. We have the ability to defer from the 15-foot. 4-foot is the standard minimum that we would go to because it's the size of the smallest equipment that would normally be used in order to, say, dig a foundation and still protect the critical area buffer.
So your department has no problem with a 4-foot construction setback, is that what you're saying?
No problem. And that would be further conditioned as a part of the issue conditions during the building permit review.
Thank you. I'm just going to make note of that. All right. And then really the only other question I had was whether the county has any response or concerns based on the public comments at attachment T. Those are the photographs of a neighbor and alleging greater or more recent incursions into the critical areas, I think specifically the stream. Did your department have any response to those comments?
No, I defer to the applicant's response in that instance.
Thank you. Ms. Tchaikovsky, I don't have any other questions. Is there anything else you'd bring to my attention?
Nothing else.
Okay, great. And I'll note for the record, we typically do have representatives from both Environmental Health and Public Works at our reasonable use exception hearings. I want to note for the record, I don't have questions for those individuals. So had they been here, they probably would have been standing by. So no harm, no foul at that, at their not being here. We also don't have members of the public present, so it's unlikely their testimony would have been needed. I'm just noting that for the record. With that, we're ready to hear applicant's presentation. Mr. Callender, Mr. Irish, will you both be speaking? Should I swear you in one at a time? How do you want to do that?
I would like to start out.
Okay. We'll hear from the representative first. Mr. Irish, you'll have a chance to add to or anything you'd like to contribute to the record. Let's start with Mr. Callender, sir. If you would please state and spell your name for the record. I'm going to type out your name before I swear you in. Could you state and spell your name? Give me your correct credential title.
My name is Alex Callender, AlexCallender, of Land Services Northwest. I'm the principal biologist for the company.
Thank you so much, sir. And do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Callender. Please go ahead.
All right. So I was retained by Mr. Irish shortly after the violation was discovered. Mr. Irish was trying to clear a place for his boys to use for recreation and for a future home site. To kind of put the lot in the landscape here, the area next door had just recently been logged, and it appears that, like, if you look at the site plan, wetland A, which is on the northern portion of the site, yes, is kind of a result of slash and stuff being piled up from the logging operations next door. And so, you know, the area to the north is a little bit disturbed. It seems like there has been there's a stream on site and three wetlands that we discovered, and the stream originates offsite to the north and flows on site and then offsite to the south, and bisects the property. And there's an associated wetland with the stream. Of course, whenever a wetland is associated with a stream, it's going to have higher habitat values because of the association with priority habitats, which streams cover two of the three priority habitats. The other one would be dead trees and stuff like that, which are home for burrowing birds. This is a non-fish-bearing stream, and it goes off-site to the south, where I've dealt with two different properties. That one property we had an RUE with, the Brown Share residents, and then south of that there was another violation on this same stream. So the applicant is not a trained biologist. Whenever I come in on a violation, I have to think back to my previous knowledge of wetlands before I became a wetland biologist. And, you know, a lot of times the wetlands were wet spots that we, as a kid, we would not play football in, you know, because it'd be too wet and muddy. And I think Mr. Irish did the clearing during the summer when things are dry. Fortunately, he did not get into the wetland itself, so that was one thing that make much easier for restoration, and did not get into the stream either. So it was pretty leveled, pretty flat. And while I'm talking about that, you had mentioned whether the 4-foot construction setback would be appropriate for this, since the area is going to be restored after the building is built. The construction setback area is already leveled, and it wouldn't be increased harm from encroachment into that area, but we're going to restore up to that area. So that will make sure that, you know, everything is restored to maintain no net loss of wetland functions. I have to add also, this restoration that we're providing is probably one of the more extensive restorations I've done. And the cost is not insignificant. It'll probably be about $12,000 when everything's said and done, close to $13,000, which for the acreage there. And You've mentioned that there may be discrepancy. Tried to use a Excel spreadsheet to keep everything straight.
Mr. Callender, can we hold 1 second. We're having just a little bit of latency, so I'm missing some of your testimony. Can I please ask Ms. Katie and Ms. Tchaikovsky if you would stop sharing your video, because sometimes that helps with latency. So you cut out a bit, and I missed your last statement. Can you go back over what you've just said?
Sure. So did you hear it? Let's see. I was talking about the extent of the restoration is probably one of the larger restorations we've done, and the costs would be significant. It's about $12,700, which he's prepared to install, and it will be at a density to mimic the previous conditions, which are, I use a calculator from Sound Native Plants that provides trees at a 12 feet. Let's see, actually I had 15 feet and 10 feet for the quaking aspens on center, which is fairly dense for the trees, and then 5 feet on center for the Oregon grape, and the Nuka rose, twin berries are at 8 feet. So it's going to be a dense recreated forest when we're done.
Okay.
And should be quite beautiful. And it should take about, we're going to be monitoring that for 10 years, which is a long enough time to establish the forest so that it should be self-sustaining after that point, where it creates its own seed bank and will probably sort itself out a little bit, where the plants find their position in the landscape naturally over time. And so because of the overall encumbrances from the wetland and its buffers, you can see in the site plan, is it under E?
Yes.
Yes, so E, it shows that the bold line there encompasses most of the property, except for a small area where we're going to be siting the septic tank, which seems appropriate for me to have the septic as far away from the wetland as we can get. There is a small wetland sea that is located in a position in the landscape where we'll still be, I think, about 50 feet from the residence. And I can't see anything. Let me get the lenses on. And 49 feet from the septic. But the septic and the residence will be draining to the west for the most part, towards the wetland. So that, and we have provided plantings in between the home site and the wetland sea, and the septic and wetland sea, to pick up nutrients and pollutants that may find themselves flowing off site. So I have provided in wetland, or in H, I believe, which is a wetland buffer enhancement plan. I've done an analysis using the common buffer functions that's on page, let's see.
Page eight.
I've used the common buffer functions that were derived from Tom Ruby's update on wetland buffers, and for screening, which is probably the most important one, because you want to screen the activities of the residential activity from the critters that live in the wetlands, and nutrient uptake. There isn't a lawn here, so they shouldn't need fertilizers or anything like that. I do not use fertilizers in my plantings. We use mulch, tends to improve the soils and the moisture holding capability. So all the native plants and trees that I use are shouldn't require watering after, say, the first 2 years, typically. So since they will be living on site, they'll be able to monitor the trees and make sure that they thrive. And I think in the overall long term, it will be a sustainable site, which provides a good home for Mr. Irish and his family, and will not detract from the functions and values of the stream and wetlands, and should have a lot of good downstream effects from the nutrient uptake and things like that. And probably, although it's a short, this stream eventually ends up in Henderson Inlet, which is an important watershed that has been under a cleanup plan for nutrients and things like that because of the shellfish industry, which is located far downstream, but it's in the same basin.
Thank you. Okay. I only have a few questions. I could ask my questions now, or I could ask Mr. Irish, did you want to say something for the record at this point?
No, it's okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. So I just want to note for the record, I believe, Mr. Irish, your property, and you were the code enforcement appeal that was scheduled last year sometime. There was a notice of violation, and then that was appealed. And so there was the beginning of a pre-hearing process to go through an appeal of that notice of violation, but I believe this reasonable use exception application was filed, and therefore that appeal was withdrawn.
Yes.
Is that true, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So during the course of the beginning of that appeal process, I had the opportunity to review the notice of violation and the appeal, but we didn't have any, there was no hearing, there was no substantive information. So I just want to note for the record, I knew about the violation and it would have come before me, but okay. You chose this process, and I don't have any recall at all of the facts that underlaid that notice of violation. So that's a very foggy memory, but I just want to note for the record, I did have a chance to, that came before me before it was withdrawn.
Thank you. Yes.
Sure. Just noting that for the record. I just wondered, I have just a couple of factual questions. They're probably for Mr. Callender. Mr. Callender, could you just, looking at the mitigation plantings map, could you just talk to me about what's being planted and what's being done in which area?
Just one moment.
Sure.
Okay. So there's two things going on. There's a restoration of the cleared area, and there's an enhancement of the remaining areas that were not cleared but are within the between the buffer and the structures. So the area and that is shown in the just single crosshatch, or that the largest area, that would be a restoration of the clearing.
Okay.
And that would be a wholesale sheet mulching of the area, and then installation of the plants, with the wettest ones going closer to the wetland, and the ones that will tolerate more moisture. Of course, that area isn't in the wetland itself. So then the area that's in the honeycomb or the hexagonal is the enhancement area, and those are existing buffer. They're still buffer. They're not wetland itself, but they have trees in them already. So what we're trying to do is enhance the understory to further screen out any residential activities, provide I tried to use vegetation that provided a flowers for bees and thing and insects, which provide a food source for other animals, and then B, provide nutrient uptake for any pollutants. I mean, even the most impactful residential area is still going to have some kind of residential activity. Cars drive on the driveway, may drip oil, dirt from the road, things like that. And so hopefully the mulch does a good job of providing adsorption of heavy metals, things like that, and pollutants. And the plants also do uptake and convert that into their biomass and kind of lock it in there. So that's what I'm trying to do. And then, of course, I'm trying to provide shade for the stream to prevent the temperature from rising, which is going to be more and more important in the future here. And since this does end up flowing eventually to Henderson Inlet, you know, having nice cool waters is something that's beneficial for salmon and other small critters that may, the amphibians that use the streams and wetlands in the area.
Thank you for walking us through that. Can you help me understand the numbers? You heard my question to Ms. Tchaikovsky. The numbers on the site plan are slightly greater than the numbers in the staff report. Do you know which set of numbers is more accurate?
Well, these plans are subject to review by the county. They're very thorough because they want to provide the best plan they can for your review. And sometimes we have revisions to the buffers and things like that. And as you may know, we have three different reports. We've got the main report that talks about, you know, the delineation, how it was done, and how the project meets the RUE criteria. Then we have the mitigation plan, which has the numbers that we've talked about. But a change in one number leads to, you know, revisions throughout the report and the RUE application as well. So I thought my numbers were accurate, but I would probably need to take one more look to find out.
Okay. Just curious, because your numbers are slightly on the plan, because I believe I'm looking at the plan is at attachment E to the staff report, but I believe that's taken from your mitigation plan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Attachment H. So if those are the final numbers that were proposed, that's fine. Again, the difference is not great. It's less than 100 square feet.
Okay.
So it's not a vast difference. And if your plan is accurate, then you're actually proposing slightly more restoration and enhancement than the staff thinks you are. So it's within 100 square feet. It's not going to cause me to have, you know, hold the record open or anything like that. I was just curious if you could tell me which set of numbers was more accurate.
I didn't notice the discrepancy. I would assume mine are most accurate.
Okay. Did the applicant have any additional response you want to make since we're here at hearing? In addition to the letters you already wrote, to the photos and comments that are at attachment P to the staff report, those are the ones received in March and April 2023. Anything else you want to add?
I mean, to be honest with you, I a lot of what was there.
Mr. Irish, I'd be happy to have your testimony, but I do need you to introduce yourself and let me swear you in.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Sure. So please state and spell your name.
Trevor Irish, TrevorIrish.
Thank you so much. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you for that. Please, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Anything else you'd like to add in response to those letters?
I mean, this is where I'm coming from is something very simple, but I, it's probably not even really needed, I guess, but a lot of what I inherited when I got there wasn't too far off from what I were in terms of the pictures that were taken. It was a lot like that when I bought the property. It was the person that owns all like 320 something acres, I think, next door. I actually thought a lot of that was his property, so I didn't do much of anything to it. So and it looked almost like the, and this is my uneducated thoughts on this. It looked almost like what he was doing was kind of diverted that way. So I don't know anything about how that works or what was really done, but I actually thought a lot of that was his property. So I purposely didn't tread that way, you know. So, and whatever I did was mainly just walking, you know, paths and trying to figure out where the property was, you know. So I said that was pretty much it. So, the property that we're on now, or the property that we're, you know, walking on now, the cleared part is when I got there, there was an existing culvert that entered into that portion of the property, and it looked almost like it was had previously been logged years and years and years and years ago. There was a lot of stumps and a lot of down trees and a lot of just what looked like sticker bushes and, you know, overgrown, like, I don't even know what the bushes are called, but it was a, you know, it was, I admit it was wrong. So, I mean, I now in hindsight, my intention was just to have a place to kind of play with my kids and throw the ball around, because I coach football, but that was my intention from the start. And that's why I didn't go anywhere further than what it seemed like had been cleared previously. I mean, again, years and years and years ago. So there was a natural area that looked like had been that way before, and then I didn't go any further. But I just wanted to state that to you, just so you knew. I didn't want you to think I was some kind of a developer or something out there just kind of trying to break the rules. That wasn't my intent. So.
Got it.
I sincerely apologize for that.
Well, and you've gone through the process that the county requires to address inadvertent clearing in critical areas. And so here we are.
Yeah.
Going through the process.
Yes, ma'am.
But I was just wondering if you if there was anything specific about the photographs or in response. But if that's your testimony, I'm happy with that. I don't have specific questions.
I honestly don't really have much, because anything I would say I don't have proof of or know. So all I know is what I did or didn't do. So that's all I can really testify.
That's totally, yeah. Totally fine. Okay. Also, Mr. Callender wanted to add something on that point. Mr. Callender?
Yeah. Yes, if we were to look at T,
yes,
it has the photos that the yes. neighbor took on site. If you notice, there's vegetation right there in the... I think that it's very scrubby back there. Now, my job as a biologist isn't to... provide the client with what he thinks he has, or I'm there to look at what he has and show him what he has and what he has done, the extent to what he's done it. And so I had looked at that area, and if you look, of course, it looks like a nice clear pathway. If you go to the south of this site, it actually becomes a ditched stream. So this is a very flat area. We've had what they call the atmospheric rivers that occur during the winters. And when these events occur, the runoff from, say, the 320 acres of logged area that used to trickle down over the trees, the flood pulse is much stronger than it used to be. And the water would literally sweep through here, as you can see on the page one on the one where he's standing to the right of the stream.
Yes.
You can see that the vegetation is bent over towards the bottom of the page, I guess that would be to the south, I believe. And from with it, it's taking debris. So it has a look of being cleared. That has not been cleared. That there's no way you could get a dozer in there or anything to clear it without making a bigger footprint than what you see there. So I think the complainant is just confused by what he's seen, and seeing the amount of clearing that had occurred due to Mr. Irish's clearing, he probably was like, and look over here, here's something else too. But truly, there was no clearing done in that area. And it's, you know, a natural flow path that is that we delineated. So,
okay.
Mr. Irish has truly worked with me to provide the best restoration plan I think he could provide in this situation. And, you know, he's trying to have a home for his family, and for he's got a small garage for the vehicles that he has, and that will actually do a good job of protecting them from the elements and protecting any contamination from the vehicles. So that's where we ended up. I literally did work with him to reduce the overall footprint, and he was asking me numerous times about, because it's a difficult matter to determine what exactly is reasonable given the site specific conditions and the needs of the applicants that we work with. And that's why your work is so important.
Okay. Thank you for that testimony. I'm just looking at the site plan. I just want to confirm my understanding. It looks like there are actually two small portions of the site that are not encumbered by wetland or I was going to say those two little areas that aren't encumbered by wetland, those are not encumbered at all, but they're actually encumbered with the buffer for wetland B, right?
Yes.
So the entire parcel is actually encumbered by critical area or regulated buffer, correct?
Yes, except for the area where the septic is. There's a small area where the septic occurs that is not encumbered by the reduced buffer of wetland B.
Got it. But
that's the reduced buffer. So not yeah, the whole area is encumbered. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to confirm that understanding. I don't have other questions about that. Ms. Tchaikovsky, did you want to clarify something about that?
No, I was just going to point out the fact that the standard buffer is essentially covering the entire site.
The entire parcel. And if, yeah, it is. It's the entire parcel. Because the way they overlap, kind of, it's hard to tell which side is on the outside. But yeah, it is. It's the entire parcel. Okay. I don't have other questions, except I was going to ask Mr. Callender and Mr. Irish, did you have a chance to review the recommended conditions, and did you have any questions or concerns about them?
No, I don't have any questions or concerns.
I don't either. Either.
Okay. All right. Anything else at all, Ms. Tchaikovsky, before we conclude?
I would just suggest that the discrepancy between the site plan mitigation and the mitigation as stated throughout the enhancement plan in the report, it looks to me like the enhancement area is actually correct on the site plan when you add the two areas up. The only difference is within that 21,000, et cetera, in the mitigation area. As you said, it's a matter of like 60 square feet. Yeah. I would prefer to just defer to the written square footage for the report if we're able to do that.
Your numbers in the report.
Yeah, which is the 19,000.
961. Great. Okay, excuse me, sorry. Thank you, Ms. Tchaikovsky. Any final comments or any response to that, Mr. Callender?
No, the county, I'll just say the county works really hard to make sure I get the numbers right. And it's one of the causes of my anxiety is to make sure I get the numbers right. And so I'm sorry if I didn't get them right, but I think they're okay.
No worries. I would wonder while I'm drafting the findings. And so I just want to have the conversation while we're all still present. Anything else at all before I close the record from the applicants?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Thanks very much, everybody. I think I have all the information I need to decide this reasonable use exception permit application. Thanks for your work on the matter. And Mr. Irish, for your efforts at restoring the property. I want to go over the post-hearing schedule now. I'll just note for the record and ask Ms. Katie, you agree with me there's no public here, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thanks. Just didn't know if you could see something I couldn't. With no public comment, we would be done. And I will go over this schedule. So again, because it's a virtual hearing, I do hold the record open for 2 business days. That means the record is open through December 28th for post-hearing written public comment from folks who tried or wanted to participate but lacked technology or had technology failures like power outages or something like that. 2 days, that means December 28th. If we receive public comments before close of business on the 28th, it will be admitted. If it comes in to county staff, I would ask you to forward it to Mr. Callender and Mr. Irish as soon as possible. And I will ask for responses in writing from county staff and the applicants. You would also have 2 business days. So here's what the schedule looks like. The record is open through the 28th for public comments. If we get none, there is no post-hearing public comment. The 10-day decision issuance deadline is January 12th, and that's because of the New Year's holiday. If we do receive post-hearing public comment from people who had technology problems, staff and the applicant have till close of business on the 2nd business day, which comes out to being January 2nd because of the holidays and weekends. So, record is open till January 2nd for your written response to post-hearing public comment from people who had technology problems. And then because of the Martin Luther King holiday, the decision, 10-day decision, the issuance deadline gets bumped to the 17th, January 17th. So at the latest, you'll receive the decision from me by the 17th. If there's no post-hearing comment, you would get it from me by the 12th. So, and the way that works is I send it by email to Ms. Katie. She will forward it to you, probably electronically, but will also send it out in the US mail in the normal course. Those were the only documents that will be admitted after today's hearing. We didn't identify any other documents. So that concludes our business. I will send this post-hearing schedule in writing to Ms. Katie. She can forward it to you so that you don't have to make sense of my word salad here today. And that is the end of our hearing. And this is my last hearing of the year. Thanks very much, everybody, for joining me for this today.
Thank you.
We're adjourned. Take good care.